Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us now as we begin our discussion entitled Seven Vital Steps for Building a Christian Family, Part 2. So here's where we are. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Yes.
And we are starting a series that we're calling Seven Vital Steps for Building a Christian Family. Mm-hmm. How to succeed at home. And Deuteronomy 6 is one of those passages that you have to master.
Right.
Ephesians 5 is that way. Ephesians 6 is that way.
Right.
There's just some texts that are specifically written to help us at home, and here's one of them.
What would you say to someone who would say, well, that is Old Testament. That's written exactly to the Jews. It even says, hear, O Israel. It doesn't say anything about us.
That's a valid question, because the point there is that in the Deuteronomy 6, God is telling Moses mm-hmm. how that Israelite families can succeed in the pagan culture they're about to enter.
Right.
Because they are living in the wilderness, mm-hmm. and now they're getting ready to go into the promised land, where they will be surrounded by the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. All
That's
of the
impressive
ites.
That you know all those.
I just read them recently. And what he's telling them is that you're about to go into a pagan land, and if you lose your children, you're going to lose my blessings. If the family's not well, you're going to lose my blessings.
Right.
You're going to bring my curse instead of my favor.
Right.
And because he's writing here practical Christian steps, practical biblical steps for the family,
right.
It is an Old Testament passage written to Israel, but it applies beautifully
yes.
and is repeated. The ideas of Deuteronomy 6 are repeated throughout the New Testament as well. Mm-hmm. And so this is a phenomenal place to start to just help you. Seven steps that he said in your pagan culture, as you enter the promised land, you can win if you'll live like this.
Right.
And we want to win. We want to
yes,
win at
do.
Home.
Yes,
and we want to have a phenomenal Christian family. Mm-hmm. And so Deuteronomy 6 is one of those texts. So that's a good question.
Yes.
All right. You want to read? Let's get started.
Deuteronomy 6.
And here we
verses
go.
Verses 1 through 5. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Okay, that's phenomenal. Go back there while you have the Bible there in your hand and read that one little verse about fearing God where he mentions that.
Let's see here. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged.
Yeah, that's just a phenomenal place to start. Mm-hmm. And I liked hearing you read that. You were confusing your yees and thous.
I was.
So just say your thees and yees and thous.
I haven't been speaking King James, I guess, today.
But that was, what a phenomenal passage as he's laying out for the nation of Israel, in this pagan land you're about to enter. Mm. It starts with, if you'll fear me,
right.
Then it can impact your life and your sons and your son's sons.
Yes.
And what an awesome thought that we can influence not only our own lives and bring God's favor and blessings in our own lives.
Right.
But we can live in such a way that we can bring God's favor and blessings to our children's lives and right. to our grandchildren.
Future generations, and which is phenomenal.
We just want that to be an encouragement to you as you're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. We would say it like this. If you're looking at Deuteronomy 6 today, we would say, look, we as Christians are to live differently than this culture around us.
Right.
And everybody knows that our culture today is so anti-Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It's so opposed to the truth of God's word.
Right.
But we can live differently, and in return, in doing so, we can influence and lead and teach
yes.
our children and our mm-hmm. grandchildren to do so as well.
Right. And by following these verses, sometimes we think, well, we do live differently. We're politically conservative, or we do live differently. We dress a certain way, and that is all part of following the word of
sure,
God.
There
I'm
can
not
be,
saying,
there can be reasons for all of that.
This goes even deeper in fearing the Lord, loving the Lord, and so on in the Deuteronomy passage.
Yeah, so, you know, it is so true. We talked last week, if you joined us last week, about how that you can have a Christian school kid that goes wrong because things aren't well at home. You can have a public school kid that goes right because things are well at home.
Right.
And it just reminded me what you even said there, that you can be politically conservative and yet really far from God if you're talking Bible truth.
That's right.
And so we're talking about in your home, living the Bible in your home in such a way that Deuteronomy 6 is applied to your life, your family, and the result is that you're blessed by God.
Yes.
And so last week we started just really simply, and the first thing he says is it catches us off guard because it's so, how do you explain it? And what we started with was fear God.
Yes.
And he says that so simply. It's the first thing he connects to the family. For your sons and your sons' sons to have my favor and my blessing, they have to learn to fear God.
Right. A few episodes ago, we talked about rules and standards in our life, and we talked about having that balance. That if you are not balanced, you don't have any rules and standards. And if you are not balanced, you might be way overboard. And when I think of fearing the Lord, sometimes parents, like we talked about last week, they just want their God that they present to their children to be all grace and mercy. And there's nothing that you need to do to live up to that. And then there are some families that all they do is teach their children a God of wrath and judgment.
Yes, he's an angry God.
He is waiting just to zap you.
Yes.
And they think they're just teaching the fear of the Lord. But if you have a biblical balanced view of that, you're thinking reverence. I'm standing in awe of this Lord and I would do anything just so I can live for him.
Yeah, there is two sides to the word fear. Yes. And even it's a unique word in the Hebrew because God, and it's wonderful that God gave us that word.
Yes.
Because it does take those two positions and puts them together. Here is a God of mercy and love and truth. We should fear him.
Yes.
The idea of that is we should have great awe. We should stand in awe of that God. But it also has the idea of being scared to death. And so he says in the word, and we read this last week, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Right.
And the reason being is because when I allow evil into my life, I lose God's favor.
Yes.
And not only that, I have to reap the consequences, which the New Testament calls corruption. The word is rottenness.
Oh.
And so he says there, you know, if we sow to the Spirit, we reap life everlasting. That's a Bible way of saying love and joy and gentleness and favor.
Yes.
But if we sow to the flesh and we refuse to fear God and honor God, he said, we reap, therefore, corruption. And that's a very strong word.
Yes.
Nobody wants to be near something that's rotting and that's, you know, covered in flies and the odor. But that's the word used here. So fearing God is vital.
Yes.
It is a good thing. We talked about that last week. And it's a practical thing. We talked about reverence.
Yes.
And anything else that came to your mind there, we mentioned several things, but teaching our kids just to stand in awe of God.
Right. And I think it can be just a daily practical thing. If something happens in your home, if there's answered prayer, or if you get to do something fun as a family, isn't the Lord good to us? Just pointing it out.
There's even an apologetics, I don't exactly the word there. There's a part of apologetics today that is uses the word beauty. That in God's created world, he designed beauty to cause us to stand in awe. And you really can see that as when you have little ones and you're pointing out to them, they can marvel at God's creation of a little ant.
Yes.
They can go into a meadow, get your eyes off of a screen and go into a meadow and watch a bird and watch the bird, you know, catching a worm. They can even pick up a worm and be in awe of this creation. Yes. And when we take that natural awe of wow, of beauty, of look at the world we live in, look at all that God has made.
Right.
We're teaching our kids to fear God. That's reverence.
Right.
And you have to help your teens with that because it's so easy in our culture to, you know, to stare at a screen all the time.
Right.
You know, our daughter Charity is 12 and she'll be 13 soon. Charity often will ask, you know, take a walk with me, especially if it is, I walk the dog in the evening before bed.
Right.
And oftentimes I try to say yes to that. Sometimes it's inconvenient because it's time for her to go to bed or whatever. But she and I will walk the road in front of our house and she's learned, you know, there's the Big Dipper, Daddy. And, you know, look, I wonder why God made it like that. And Mm-hmm. So it's an opportunity, even in the evening, walking a dog, for us to have a fear of God, a reverence of God.
Just point them, always pointing them to the Creator.
Yeah, that's part of that fearing God. Well, we closed last week with we had to close a little fast because we're trying to be very careful about the time. but we were talking about the side of fear that literally is scared to death. Mm. And you had commented several things there, and we're talking about it. And we were especially talking about teaching our kids that sin has great consequences.
Yes.
But any other thoughts you'd want to add for our audience to think about there?
Well, it can be a difficult thing to portray to our children, because you don't want your children to always think of God as the God of wrath and judgment.
Right.
And but it is a weighty thing. Mm-hmm. If you allow your child to grow up to be a liar, that is a weighty thing. They will lose their job. They may lose their marriage if they're a liar. Yes. And so you do want to discuss that with them.
Yeah.
If they're in trouble for something that they have done, say lying, you do want to discuss that. Of course, they will face consequences, I hope, in your home because they have lied. But you want to discuss that. Mm-hmm. Son, I don't want you to be a liar.
I remember. Anytime we had to correct an issue in the kids' lives, I would frequently say to them, you can't grow up to lie.
Right.
And I would give real world illustrations. I'd say, well, they're 7 or they're 8 or they're 9. They're not married. Mm. But lying can damage a marriage. Lying
yes.
can cost you a job. Lying can get you in trouble. Lying can land you in jail.
Yes.
And so I'd always point those things out because it was a practical way, gently, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Of just pointing out, no, we're gonna fear God.
Right.
We have to hate evil.
Right. And I would think even too in this culture where sin is winked at mm-hmm. and laughed at and thought of as no big deal, mm-hmm. we always want to put in front of our children, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
This is a big deal to God. Even when you have teenagers like, Mom, it's no big deal. So I went over the speed limit. So I didn't. No, it is a big deal.
Sure.
It's not just a big deal because you have a police officer who could give you a ticket, which is a big deal financially, and it goes on your record and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal to the Lord because He said we have to obey our authority.
And that's an interesting illustration as well, because when you think about it, a person can be speeding along the highway and when they come around a curve or top a hill and there is a policeman watching, the reaction says, oh my goodness.
Oh, slow down.
There's a fear
down.
There. That is the word. There's, oh my
yes.
goodness. And to point out to our children that just like that policeman is watching you speed, there is a God in heaven.
Yes.
And He's watching and He's not, He's everywhere.
Yes.
He knows everything.
Not
you
just
cannot
the
get
officers.
By with anything with Him.
Vision, yes.
And what an illustration there. All of us should fear God. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the beginning of our discussion entitled 7 Vital Steps for Building a Christian Family, Part 2. Join us next time as we continue this conversation.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.